Harper Audio presents Hero, the life and legend of Lawrence of Arabia by Michael Corder. Read by Robin Sachs. Who is this extraordinary pipsqueak? In the third summer of the world's greatest war, a small garrison of Turkish soldiers still held the port of Aqaba on the Red Sea, as they had from the beginning. Indeed, since long before the beginning of this war, for Aqaba, the site of Eilat during biblical times, and later garrisoned during the Roman era by the 10th Legion, had been part of the Ottoman Empire for centuries, steadily declining under Turkish rule into a small, stiflingly hot place, hardly bigger than a fishing village, reduced by 1917 to a few crumbling houses made of whitewashed dried mud brick and a dilapidated old fort facing the sea. Its site was on the flat, narrow eastern shore amid groves of date palms, in the shadow of a jagged wall of mountains as sharp as a shark's teeth and a steep plateau that separated it from the great desert stretching to Baghdad in the east, north to Damascus, and south to Aden, more than 1,200 miles away. Today, a busy, thriving resort city and the principal port of Jordan, a nation which did not then exist, Aqaba is famous for its beaches and its coral reefs, which attract scuba divers from all over the world. It is situated at the head of the Gulf of Aqaba, which is separated from the Gulf of Suez by the spade-shaped southern tip of the Sinai. At the narrow mouth of the Gulf of Aqaba, some archaeologists believe, lies a shallow land bridge over which Moses led the Jews across the Red Sea on their flight from Egypt. From the first days of the war, Aqaba had attracted the attention of British strategists in the Middle East, starting with no less imposing a figure than that remote and awe-inspiring military and diplomatic potentate, the victor of Omdurman, Sirdar, or commander-in-chief of the Egyptian army, and British agent and consul general in Egypt, Field Marshal the Earl Kitchener. It was not that Aqaba itself was such a valuable prize, but a rough dirt road or track ran northeast from it to the town of Marn, some 60 miles away as the crow flies, and a major stop on the railway line the Turks had built with German help before the war from Damascus to Medina. From Marn it seemed possible, at any rate to those looking at a map in Cairo or London, rather than riding a camel over a waterless, rocky desert landscape, to threaten Beersheba and Gaza from the east, thus at one stroke cutting off the Turks' connection with their Arabian Empire, eliminating once and for all the Turkish threat to the Suez Canal, and making possible the conquest of Jerusalem and the Holy Land. Seen on the map, the Gulf of Aqaba was like a knife blade aimed directly at Marn, Amman, and Damascus. With Aqaba as a supply base, it might be feasible to attack the richest and most important part of the Ottoman Empire, whose inhabitants, divided though they might be by tribe, religion, tradition, and prejudice, could perhaps be encouraged, if only out of self-interest, to rise against the Turks. The Turks had spent the last 3 years fortifying the rugged, rocky, high ground on either side of it with trenches that overlooked the beaches. The high ground rose sharply in the form of natural rocky terraces, like giant steps, providing defensive positions for machine gunners and riflemen. It would be easy enough for the Royal Navy to land troops on the beaches at Aqaba, assuming troops could be made available for that purpose. But once ashore, they would have to fight their way uphill against a stubborn and well-entrenched enemy, in a landscape whose chief feature, apart from blistering, overwhelming heat, was a lack of drinking water, except for the few wells forming the strong points of the Turkish defense system. Many British officers underrated, even despised, the Turkish army. The general opinion was that Turkish soldiers were poorly trained and poorly armed, as well as slovenly, cruel, and reluctant to attack, while their officers were effete, poorly educated, and corrupt. This opinion persisted despite the fact that when a combined British, Australian and New Zealander army landed at Gallipoli in April 1915, in an attempt to take Constantinople and open up a year-round warm water route through the Dardanelles to Allied shipping, without which the beleaguered Russian Empire seemed certain to collapse, it was fought to a standstill by an inferior number of Turks. The British were obliged to evacuate after 8 months of fighting, leaving behind 42,957 dead, in addition to 97,290 men seriously wounded and 145,000 gravely ill, mostly from dysentery.